The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
8 weeks of Super League done and dusted. In fact, not just 8 weeks of Super League, but 8 weeks of the, 8 weeks of the Championship. Eight leaks?
Well, if you look at some teams, the defence has been particularly leaky.
Yeah. 8 weeks of Rugby League done and dusted. Hey, what a way it's been. What a start to the season.
I know, suddenly you just sort of like look up and you're 8-9 weeks into a season and, you know, there's coaching casualties, there's points being scored galore, you've got Castleford still playing some top rugby league,
Salford doing really well. Do it without Marwan being interfering on the field.
Yeah, you know, I mean, fantastic. I mean, those two clubs have been the story so far this year, haven't they? Castleford and Salford both have played tremendous rugby.
Welcome to another loverugbyleague.com podcast. We're still a bit leaky in some of the mistakes we're doing 8 weeks in.
Yeah, but we expect it. That's fine. Everybody expects it.
We're not professionals. We're just amateurs.
Keen amateurs, you know.
You mentioned coaching casualties. Glenn Morrison. Mad Morrison must have been mad when his time came up at Dewsbury.
I feel a little bit sorry for him, really, you know, because he's not done that bad a job. But I suppose if you look at it all together, maybe he should have been expected to do a little bit better. But he's no halfbacks. He's not had any halfbacks at Dewsbury since they sold Anthony Thackeray.
Neither a witness.
Well, yeah, but that's another story entirely. They seem to at least still be able to turn it on against Lee occasionally.
Yes, didn't do it against Wakefield. So Dennis, despite that 2-year contract, could be under pressure.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he's been under pressure since he's walked through the door at Widnes, hasn't he? You know, and he always seems to deflect it pretty well. And I don't know, I've still got, you know, high hopes of Widnes that they're going to turn it round over the second half of the season. Maybe that's just me, you know, being very positive.
Now, everyone expected Dennis to be the first casualty of Super League. I don't think many people expected Kieran Cunningham's name to be in the hat first.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, that guy, he's lived and breathed St Alan's,
hasn't
he? Got
a statue outside the ground.
Exactly. You know, I'm hoping that it's not going to be like Iraq in 2003 with somebody pulling it down now, you know, after all that. But
if they get beat against Wigan on Friday, that might happen.
Oh,
they just blame Kieran.
No.
Who's in charge.
You can't blame Kieran. I mean, I just think, you know, he's been a Saints man and boy, hasn't he? And it's really sad when things like that happen, because I had a similar sort of feeling when Paul Rowley left Lee, because he'd spent so long at the club. You know, he gets ingrained, really, you know, and there's some people that will have grown up in St Helens not knowing anything different, but having Kieran Cunningham associated with the club.
One man who is St Helens man and boy, it's rugby league journalist for the BBC, it's Alan Rooney. Alan, how are you, Alan?
We
lost you for a minute then. Man and boy is a Saints fan and a rugby league journalist. What's the mood been like in St Helens since Kieran was told he's no longer the coach?
Well, I think the fact of the matter is, Eddie, I think it's fair to say a lot of the fans had become disappointed, disillusioned, and not just so much with the results, but also the way the Saints side in their eyes has been playing. I mean, if you watch St Helens over the years, they're associated with bright, open attacking rugby, and they feel, or most of them do anyway, that some of that's lost. And when you compound that with the results not going their way as well, obviously there's been a lot of pressure on Kieran one way or another.
Bit of a legend at the club, so a bit of surprise that they have decided to relieve him of his services.
Well, he is a legend at the club, absolutely rightly so. Well over 500 appearances. In my opinion, arguably the best number nine, and I say that reservedly, a dummy half or a hook, as you might want to call them, or we did call them, and I honestly believe arguably he's probably been one of the best, if not the best. From a coaching point of view, expectations at St Helens very, very high. Not only do you pressured to win things, but to win it, as I say, in style, and that's the pressure that goes with the job. And Kieran understood all that, and he knew what he was taking on when he took over the job with the club, as you say, he's been associated with for about, 24 years or so, but he knew the pressures, that comes with the job. And the man he is, straight away, when it came to an end, the first thing he did was ring Jamal Elise, who's one of the lads that's taken over the coaching reins along with Sean Long and Derek Traynor, to say, get the lads focused for Good Friday. Let them have some good training sessions. It's not about me. It's about this club, about this team, turning things around. That's typical of Kieran Cunningham.
I thought you were going to say he rang you then for a minute.
I did speak to him, actually, Ernie, yesterday, and obviously disappointed, but totally understood. It's sport, and I suppose no matter where you're coaching, the day you sign your contract is the day nearer to coming to an end of it. And I think, like everyone, like Kieran, you know, knew all about that, knew expectations, as I say, with it being St Helens, very, very high.
I'll be honest with you, though, Al, St Helens fans haven't really been happy with the coaches since Ian Millward.
Say again, Ernie, sorry.
I'm just saying there, I don't think St Helens fans have been happy with the coaches since Ian Millward.
Well, probably not, but they were absolutely fine when they beat Wigan in the grand final a couple of seasons ago. That was, of course, with Nathan Brown. And, you know, it's all about winning, isn't it? As I say, if you're a St Helens coach or a St Helens fan, it's almost a demand, an expectation that you get into finals, that you go a long way in cup competitions, if indeed not reaching the finals. If you refer to Kieran, he's had a couple of semi-final visits in the playoffs and Challenge Cup. So it's not been all doom and gloom by any means. But just think, fans get agitated, they become restless, the chairman sees what's going on. And I would bet probably the hardest decision Eamon McManus has made in saying, Kieran, I think maybe we've come to the end of the line.
So what is the next step forward for the club?
Well, the next step forward, what I was told at the press conference yesterday, was that Sean Long, Jamal Lalisi, Derek Traynor, Paul Wellens will steer the ship, so to speak, till the end of the season, and then hopefully they'll have someone in the sights to appoint the new coach. It could happen before. I mean, if someone becomes available, the right person is available, then I think probably they would go straight away. But at this moment in time, they're thinking that they'll have a good look round and see how they go to the end of the season.
I know it's early days, but have there been any names pushed forward?
Not really. It's all a little bit of guesswork, isn't it? David Furley's name has been mentioned. Steve McNamara's name has come up. I know Jason Taylor in the NRL is no longer in work. He was a former coach with the West Tigers. So these are the names that are bandied about, but not from the club, I have to say. It's on the Sefton Corner or in the pub or wherever, all these names and others as well be bandied about. But as far as I understand it, Eddie, there's no one in the sights as yet.
You've been involved with Saints since Man and Boy. You've seen coaches come and go. The club will always survive, won't they?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, St Helens is absolutely massive in the town. It means so much to the town, along with Pilkington Glass, although that has deteriorated in terms of employee numbers over the years. But yeah, St Helens is massive. They've got a fantastic stadium there. Everything that goes with it. Great training facilities. State-of-the-art, really, in terms of allowing a side to get ready. So everything is right for the club, and that is why, and a great spectator base, and that is why expectation and pressure come along with the job.
Alan, it's Dave Parkinson here. I've just got a... You're all right. I'm just sort of wondering as well, because there's still a couple of, if you like, modern legends which are involved behind the scenes. You've already mentioned them there in Sean Long and Paul Wellens. They must be thinking, crikey, is it us next?
I wouldn't have thought. I'm pretty sure the likes of Paul Wellens, for example, he's so highly thought of at the club, and he has had much to do with the youngsters. I think he'll now get more involved with the first team. And Sean Long, obviously, another legend. I would have thought when this newcomer comes in, whether it's this season or indeed the start of next year, I would have thought they would be part of the coaching setup. I think a new man coming in would be more than happy to have Sean Long and Paul Wellens and Derek Traynor and Jamal Lalisi on board.
And to be fair, this is a job that doesn't come available that often, does it? You know, Saints has been such a stable club for a number of years that even when they do decide to pull the trigger, they give people, you know, a long run in the job, don't they? I'm thinking Mike Rush when he stepped into the position a few years ago, for example.
Yeah, very much so. People come in and they will be given opportunities. As I said a little earlier, they've got all the facilities to implement their ideas of how the team should play, how it should go about getting results. So, yeah, they'll be given time. But it's like anything else. When the natives get restless, things happen, and sometimes they happen a little bit quicker than what you expect. I would have thought, for example, that Kieran would have been given a couple more games to see if he could turn it round. So I wasn't surprised that you know, they parted company, but I was a little bit surprised how quickly it happened.
What do you think the next step for Kieran's going to be then, Al?
That's a very, very good question. I think Kieran, knowing him, I think he'll step back. I think he'll have a long look at what he wants to do next. I don't think he'll be in any hurry to carry on his rugby at this moment in time. That can all change. I'm just offering an opinion, but knowing him like I do, I would imagine he'll step back. He'll take some time out with the family, have a look back, and just maybe think, well, did I go wrong? If I did, where did I go wrong? And can I put it right in the next job? That is, of course, if he wishes to stay in the game. I'm not so sure that will happen, but only Kieran will know that.
Another club are going to make the decision who is the next head coach of St Helens. But who would you like to see get the job?
Who would I like to see? Well, I would like to see, first of all, an experienced man, someone. Well, I'd like to think like David Furley. You may remember him playing for the Saints.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but instrumentally in the success of the club. He's now the assistant coach at the North Queensland Cowboys. Whether Dave would be interested, whether the club would approach him or not, I wouldn't know. But certainly I think it would be someone of that ilk. I would think where the club will be looking for someone with experience, someone that knows the way the club works. Although Sean Long, of course, Paul Wellens, etc., and the others, they know full well how things work at the Saints. I would think that Saints will look towards somebody, even if they haven't been associated with the club, certainly will have a good idea how things have to happen at Saints.
Sounds like a call for Alex Murphy, that, Alan.
No, you know, Alex wouldn't be slow coming forward. I'll tell you with opinions or otherwise. He's just an outstanding icon, another legend, if you like, of the club. But I would think Alex's coaching days are well and truly over.
Interesting times ahead at St Helens. Thank you very much to Alan Rooney for his thoughts about what is going to happen in the next stage of coaching at St Helens. And we'll watch this space.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Great to hear Alan Rooney talking about what might happen with St Helens. Now, he mentioned David Furley.
Yep.
Right. And I spoke to him on the phone the day before. He mentioned Steve McManara. He didn't mention that one tonight.
I think he did just touch upon Steve McManara there.
Right, I'm maybe aware of listening.
But I mean, like he was talking there about Alex Murphy. I think you put that to him.
Yes.
I'll raise you an Alex Murphy.
All right, okay.
Okay. And guess who I want in that job? Bobby Goulding.
Bobby Goulding.
Now, he's played for the club. He's won things for the club.
He's using social media to say he's putting his name in the hat.
He is. He's gone on Twitter and he said, this is what I've sent to Mr. McManus.
Oh, the character is Bobby.
This is what I've sent to Mr. Rush. Take me on. You know that I can do it.
Do you reckon they've got the nerve to do it, though?
I tell you what, though. I just really like...
It's a brave decision.
I just really like the fact that he's gone out there and he said, listen, give me that job. I just think that shows absolute confidence. And let's face it, he was a great player in his time, wasn't he, Bobby?
He was a great player. He's had some minor success as a coach.
It would be a big call, that's without a doubt. Call. But hey, we want big stories in rugby league. We want big characters.
I know Alan was saying maybe Australian. But if you're going to look at a British coach, you mentioned go and bust the bank and go and get Darryl Powell.
Yep.
But go and try and find Elry Allen. I thought he did a great job with Doncaster a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's Ellery doing
Where's
these
the
days?
Where's Black Pearl? Bring him back.
Where's he gone?
Exactly.
The last time I saw him, he was doing ice rink skating somewhere, wasn't he?
He's a rugby league player and coach. Get him back here. He'd take the Saints job on again.
He's a rugby league genius. Let's bring him back. So we've got a couple of our own suggestions
I know
there, haven't we?
He's been there before, but he might want to come back.
You never know. You never know.
Anyway, that's for the future. Let's talk about what happened last round of Super League. And then Warrington, after seven matches, finally getting their win.
I know. some things are amazing, aren't they? I mean, the way that Leeds started that game as well. I mean, we saw the big foul in the first minute, didn't we?
And we did.
The fact that Leeds then opened the score in a minute later. And I was thinking that the writing was on the wall once again for Warrington, but they really did hit back. They stuck to the guns. And you know what I think it comes down to? It's having Declan Patton in the middle of that field.
Well, I was watching that game and I thought, you know what? If I was the coach, which I'm not, it's just my opinion.
Okay.
I'd be thinking, right, Depp Patton alongside Kirk Gidley is my starting halfback.
Right, okay, can't go wrong there.
Kevin Brown, when he's ready to come back off his head knock, as loose forward.
What?
And Joe Westman, second row. There you go, job done.
Well, you know, Joe's played a lot of second row. I don't think they'll go for that, though. You know, there's only one team that's operating with that type of creativity at the moment.
Go on, who's that?
That's Lee Miners in the National Conference
Good
League.
Good to see they're trying it. Has it worked for them?
No. They've won one game so far this season.
Right, scrap that idea then.
So
we'll go with that.
You get a lot of clubs these days, they name that like third prop, don't they? Or they get a third prop in that pack somewhere, don't they? They like... you know, squeeze them in somewhere, I think, and see what happens. But unbelievable stuff. And again, you know, big result for Wakefield. Wakefield are playing some tremendous stuff at the minute, aren't they? You know, and
Salford,
massive win, great win over at Hull. I mean, the way that they're running in the points at the moment, they are just so exciting to watch. Then there was that great result as well for Castleford at Wigan, where they, I thought that they were really, really strong, to be honest. And, you know, it's warming up nicely, this Super League now. Everything's starting to make place and things being sorted out, aren't they?
Everything warming up nicely in the Championship as well.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I was over at Sheffield's temporary home a couple of weeks ago. Saw them play against London Broncos.
Yes.
Sadly for London Broncos, they're looking a little bit beleaguered at the moment. I think they've got about 8 or 9 injuries, which is a massive amount of your squad that's sitting out in the stands at the moment.
Struggling, aren't they?
Sheffield, they've been really up and down. You know, they've either been winning big or losing big. There's not been any in between.
All right, so they need to work on that one, don't they?
Definitely. But in that particular game, they did actually win by 32 points to 20. And I got to speak to Mark Aston afterwards. Well, Mark Aston, was that the most consistent performance from your boys this season?
I thought the first 40 minutes were, resembled a lot of what we did last week. And I thought we were great last week for 65 minutes. You know, we played a strong Swinton team last week, and for 65 minutes we were in control. Again today, you know, for 40 minutes, start of the second half, we were back in control. But we had that bit of a lapse. But you know what I loved about that is that then we found a way to get back into it and get back in the arm wrestle and then go on and just be a little more, you know, a bit more disciplined. And that's what I've been looking for. So, yeah. I mean, absolutely delighted against, obviously, you know, a good London team.
Thought Simon Brown controlled it, but your pat was awesome.
Yeah, and I've said that from minute one. When they start believing that, you know, I talk about Gary Lowe and people like that. You know, he's like having another forward, isn't he? How he runs and things like that. But certainly as forwards now are standing up and being counted, and you know, Scott Wheeldon, Mark Mexico. You know, people like Mike James has been outstanding for a while now. So, yeah, I'm pleased for them because they've worked hard. We've had a bit of adversity at the beginning of the season. Now we're starting to look like a team, you know, a togetherness. And I think there's been some people very instrumental in that, and that's certainly the senior group. And Simon Brown stood up to the mark. And as you say, he's led the troops. You know, Simon's always been able to do that when he played for me before, and he retired, and then I've brought him back out. And I think he'll find his way at the beginning, but now he's leading this ship, and he's doing it quite well.
Do you find that now you're getting some consistency in your team selection? Because early on you was big stealing and borrowing, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the big challenge is over this next period, isn't it? Injuries and things like that, because we've got what? A 20, 21-man, 22-man squad maximum, and injuries are going to come. I've just been talking to Endo, and you know, he's got 11, hasn't he, at the moment, so it's tough. If we got something like that, it'd be me and Keith back playing. So, yeah, we just, you know, fingers crossed that we don't get the injuries, but there's certainly the momentum, the consistency within the group, and you know, a lot of that's down to the big fellas. We were 86% in the first half and 88% in the second half. It's funny because on the board today I put 80%, and Keith walked in and he says, He said, oh, you want 80? I went, I best put a plus on it. And I put a plus sign on it, so we needed a bit more. And they did it. And that, you know, that's the key to the game. It's a simple game. You know, if you complete, you've got a chance of competing. And when we're completing and playing the game in the right area of the field at times, Simon Brown's kicking game was spot on. And you know, and that's what it was about, because he's a massive threat to London, certainly with the back three of Keir and Williams and Dixon on the day. You know, are certainly an area that we wanted to pinpoint as their strength, and we handle them. You know, we were great. And you know, again, I've got to go back to when they had that momentum swing, and they had it last week, they had it again today, but we found a way to wrestle it back off them, and that was one of the most pleasing things.
It was vintage Menzies as well, wasn't it?
Oh, Menzies, listen, he can still play, and him and Gary are certainly forming a partnership that's going to trouble a lot of teams, you know, and give him an early ball. You know, Simon's gone out there, and you know what, Menzies, you're having an early ball, let's do some of this, and that's all he needs sometimes, because he's a bit, you know, he's a strong man that, you know, I mean, the ball he gave to Gary down for one of the tries there, drew him in, just flicked it out. You know, he's got all the ability, and hey, long live Menzieri. Hey, it's been a tough one, and we're still, you know, we're still fighting away, and the fans are getting a bit agitated again now about the stadium and things like that, aren't they? But you know, we'll get there, and we'll do back to reality, back to the drawing board, start again, and you know, we're starting to put things in place again like we always have done. And you know, there's a good group here that are working together hard for each other. There's a good backroom staff, and you know, there's a good core of fans that they're going to travel everywhere for us. And you know, what we need to do now is get a base back in Sheffield where we can call home and start getting some of the people that's got a bit disillusioned with it back into the club. And you know, that's not far away, hopefully.
What can you say about that base so far?
Oh, well, look, the pitch is down. The floodlights are there. There's no stadium, and that's what we're going to, you know, we're trying to have dialogue with the council. They've been good up to now, but they've gone quiet on us, and I'm not copying that. You know, this next week we're going to start finding some bullets out there and find out what's going on, because we, in 2018 we need to be back in Sheffield.
If anyone can do it, Mark can.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go quiet on Mark Aston, if I'm being honest. But
imagine him firing bullets at you. No, thank you.
He's a great guy. He's one of the top rugby league fellas, I think, is Mark Aston. You know, we always have a really good chat whenever I get to cover a game involving Sheffield. And let's hope that they can start picking up the form, because they followed that up with losing by 48 points to 16.
Inconsistency, no good.
Over at Bradford.
Got to be consistent in a game of rugby league.
So as a result, Bradford are now on minus 2 points. So they've nearly wiped out all the points they got deducted. Yeah, yeah.
Good to see the jukebox still knocking around. How old is he?
Oh, I don't think anybody knows. I think he's taken over from
Stanley.
From Stanley, yeah. Nobody knows. Somebody's hidden his. I think he's got a painting in his loft that nobody sees.
It's amazing he's not being given an opportunity in Super League.
Yeah, it is really. It is really, because you think of some of the centres that are knocking around in Super League, and he's had all the class as Mark Aston mentioned there, he's had all the tools in his box, hasn't he, for all these years, and yet you're right, he's never had an opportunity. It's just strange, isn't it?
Dipping our toe into League One, and Oxford coming up with a famous victory against York.
What a brilliant win. Absolutely stonking performance, and it was convincing as well. I mean, 35 points to 28, glorious, glorious day.
Won the Blue Boys.
I know that you said, you know, potentially they've not beaten that many teams since they turned professional, and that's probably right, you know, but the highs which they've had at certain points have sort of compensated in some respects. And we've got to give a quick mention as well to Toronto, because they're at the moment laying waste to every opposition team that they come across.
It was expected, wasn't it?
It was, but you've still got to do the job, haven't you? You know, that is still expected. And, you know, they put 80 points on Doncaster.
Giving Doncaster another bloody Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, Doncaster are much, much improved and are expected to be round about the top end of that table. So, you know, it's a... By the same token, we also must praise Keithley Cougars, because they went over to Hemel and put 80 points on them as well.
Yeah, I think Hemel probably ruined the mistake of going to Dewsbury, because it's done Dewsbury no good as well, hasn't it?
No, it doesn't seem to be working out for either club, unfortunately. No. You know, we know that Dewsbury are still on the hunt for a new coach as we speak, and up to press, they've got Jonathan Schofield in there and Carl Price assisting him.
Wow.
So there you go. So now you know where Mr. Hightower went.
You mentioned Toronto unbeaten. But well done to Barrow as well. They're unbeaten, sticking in there with the boys from the Wolfpack.
Yeah, they've got a good squad this season of Barrow. They score some points and they've got some players that are quite potent at that particular level, and a few that I reckon could easily step up to the Championship as well. Which, speaking of the Championship, whilst we're on the signs of patting backs and stuff, we've got to praise Hull Kingston Rovers. They were expected really to do what they've done so far.
Yes, they have.
But they're doing a Lee, aren't they? They're dominating the division, they're not conceding many points, and they're scoring 40, 50 points every week.
And they're unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
Yeah. And I'm still going to say that they probably will go unbeaten.
You reckon?
Should do with that squad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they might have a couple of tests. I know that they've still got to host the likes of Toulouse.
Well, they play Featherstone next, so that's going to be first and second.
That'll be a tremendous battle, won't it? You know,
should be on TV, but it won't be.
No. I wonder whether there's a... Can we mention streaming while it's caused a big furore?
Yeah, why not? We can do.
Because I reckon that we should...
We're on lovebully.com, so we can do.
We should be streaming. We should be streaming far more than what we do. You should have the opportunity to go and watch a lot of Rugby League.
Shows you the platforms there, because the Beeb have done it with the Champs Cup, haven't they?
Well, they have, yeah, and they've got some really promising viewing figures. I think they got 40-odd thousand for when Toronto were on against Siddle. They've had comfortably in the mid-20,000s watching there. And when you compare that with the Sky figures, I mean, I've seen a couple of these figures for
less
Sky. They're not less, but they're falling. You know, so in the past, Sky have been able to average about 100,000, 120,000 people watching a game of Rugby League.
Not a lot, is it?
This year, it's been sort of 90.
Thursday night, man, it's no good.
There was one game between Wakefield and Lee, it was only watched by 61,000. So if you're thinking that there's only 20,000 less watched online Toronto against Siddle, so the market's there.
I'm sure there'll be a few subscribing to watch England play somewhere.
Oh, That's it. You've mentioned it. The cat's out of the bag, isn't it? You know, we're going to get hate mail and everything. Did you see some of the tweets that have been heading to the RFL since they announced that?
Blimey. I don't do social media.
Oh, I tell you. Well, I do. Maybe I do anti-social media. I'm not sure. But, but looking at it, I just think that it's probably a good decision, actually, to look at streaming the match, because I believe the offer that they had from terrestrial TV wasn't that great. So the test in the market, who knows? I reckon that the market is out there to have a dedicated Rugby League channel, and I would love to be able to see that over the next couple of years.
It could work, but the problem is with the international coming up is the fact that it's just going to be shown to the hardened fans who know all about it. I suppose the argument for terrestrial TV was you're introducing the sport to a new audience, potentially.
Yeah, but you've also got as well 59 million people who would probably switch off, you know. So I don't know. I don't actually buy that, actually. And I think that more people, although they'll moan about it and they'll start talking in pubs and whatnot, when it gets round to it and push comes to shove,
They'll watch it.
They'll find a way. They'll buy the stream, and we'll all be probably discussing this in a couple of months' time, thinking, what was everybody going on about? It was a big success. They had like 120,000 people watching it, and who knows?
Who knows? We'll find out when that game's played. But let's just come back a little bit. Let's talk about Super League now, shall we? Before Warrington got their first win of the season, they had that epic draw against Hull FC. Hull FC, wow, it's been... good in places, but they seem to have lost away a little bit in the last couple of games.
It's been a rubbish couple of weeks for a Hull fan, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the draw with the bottom of the table, Warrington, let's get it out there, bottom of the table, hadn't been able to beat an egg, Warrington, before they came up against Hull, despite them having a really good squad, I hasten to add, you know, in that. And then they get 50 put on them by Salford. You know, I mean, the Rugby League world is upside down at the moment,
isn't
it?
It's going to be a strange league, isn't it? I think it's going to be unpredictable to predict who's going to win where.
Which is probably what we've been calling out for a few years, isn't it?
There's still a lot of people moaning about it.
I know.
I don't get it.
I just love Rugby League.
I love Rugby League. Gareth Ellis loves Rugby League, but he didn't really enjoy drawing against Warrington. He wouldn't have enjoyed losing to Salford. But let's hear from him after that Warrington game. Gareth, is that a point gained or a point lost for Hull FC today?
Well, probably the position we put ourselves in at half-time, it's probably a point lost, but... it's probably happened to us the last couple of weeks. When you get into a bit of a lead, it sort of gives the opposition a chance to have a crack at you, I suppose, because of the scoreline. But having said that, I think we need to be better. The things we did well in the first half, we controlled the ball, we completed sets, and came away with some points on the back of it. We went totally against that and came up with some really crucial errors in the second half that allowed Warrington back into the game and really put the pressure on us.
It was a battle out there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah. I think the first sort of warm day as well of the year for, you know, out there, so you could tell it was, and it was a fast game, fast paced game, and it took its toll.
It did, and when the tries came, well taken.
Yeah, some really good tries out there. You know, some opportunistic ones, but ultimately, I think like you started the interview off with. You know, I think we'll see it as a bit of a point lost, but a point's better than nothing.
Yeah, it is. And how do you feel you went during that match?
Yeah, okay. It's I found it tough in parts, but I suppose that's the nature of the game. Like to think that I can play a little bit better than that and have a bit more impact on the game, but that's why there's always next week.
There's always next week. What was the mood like at half-time? Obviously, it must have been sky-high, confidence-wise.
Yeah, like I said, the position we put ourselves in at half-time was really, really good. Probably needed to come out a little bit better and sort of put our marker down on the game and put it to bed. But I think Warrington made a break from the kick-off, and that's probably set the tone for the rest of the half.
Obviously, you guys disappointed not to have got another try on the board in that second half.
Yeah, but again, that was just down to obviously some great defence from Warrington, and obviously the amount of pressure they had on our lines, and that takes its toll. You know, like I said before, the things that we did well in the first half with our ball control didn't allow Warrington to have that many opportunities, but in the second half they had a bucket load of them.
Terrific atmosphere out here today, and plenty of Hull fans making the journey on what was a warm Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they always do. You know, away support is unbelievable. They're probably the best in the competition. We've got some really good following that come and watch us regardless. So we've certainly made a game. If it didn't win, it probably got people on the edge of the seats. Probably. Not the kind of finish that they would have wanted, but you know, like I said, Warrington are quality side. I said it before the game. Warrington are quality side. It's only a matter of time before they start stringing a few wins together. I'm sure they'll like to think that they can kick on from this as well.
Well, they did, because they came up with a win against Leeds. But before we hear from Kurt Gidley, Saturday afternoon rugby league, I'm a fan of it. I like it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, I love my Saturday afternoon rugby league, but I've been going to amateur clubs and doing that instead. And you're quite right, though. I mean, it started off as being a Saturday afternoon sport, didn't it? And I just feel that maybe the time is right to look at going more regularly back to Saturdays.
Why not? Because then it stops all this short turnaround argument because you're not playing on a Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this time of year as well, you see all kinds of strange things. I mean, as we were recording this tonight, there's Catalans and Huddersfield going head to head, you know, so that just tells you all you need to know about messed up schedules and games being switched for television, isn't it? But yeah. I'm a big fan of Saturday rugby myself.
I think with Huddersfield, though, it was the football club that dominated the decision.
Oh, right, okay, so we've got to blame the football club instead.
The round ball game.
Right, okay, I apologise, Giants. I apologise, Mr. Davey. Please reserve that seat for me next time I come.
Listen, they've got plenty of seats, so they don't need to reserve them. Just get there.
I just want mine reserved. That's what it is, you know.
You're just in the prawn sandwich brigade, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'll stay with the pie and pea gang. You have the prawn sandwiches.
Well, you know me. I'm a lather that's allergic to pastry.
Only if Kurt Gidley's allergic to pastry.
I don't know. What brought that question up?
I don't know. Just thought of that.
All right. Is that because he's up next?
He is up next. After Warrington's first win of the season. Kurt Gidley, finally, you get that elusive victory. Is it a happy dressing room after that?
Yeah, happy. Be content, I suppose. It has been a tough start of the year, so not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but just a much better performance, overall performance, just completion-wise and less errors, which, you know, gave us a lot more opportunities with the ball and better field position. So it can be simple if we complete and we can tick all those things off.
Shocking start with Benny being Simbin, and you can see the try, but good for the guys to hit back and get your noses in front.
Yeah, I think so. We've given all the teams that we've lost against the start of the year a lot of opportunity at the start of the game, and too many errors and penalties, and we've had to use up so much energy in the first half of our games, and it's been really really tough to try and call back in the second half. I thought we'd done big effort last week against Hull from first half to second half, but even in that game we made way too many errors that we should be doing. So yeah, I thought it was a lot better tonight, performance overall, and obviously a lot happier change room after it, and stadium, and the fans have been doing it tough for the start of the year, so it's nice to get a win on the board, and it's just I suppose it's that monkey off your back, and it's nice to move on to next week with a positive review of this game.
Leeds are a dangerous team, and they did make you work hard for that victory.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they've been, you know, great this year. They've plenty of enthusiasm and, you know, playing a lot like they did, I guess, from 2015. So, and even, you know, even during both halves, there was, you know, a fair few offloads that they're capable of, and it's dangerous when that happens. So I thought, you know, we could have done, you know, a little bit better job on that. But overall, yeah, positive night.
Some great tries scored as well.
Yeah, there was, yeah, a few kicks in the first half, which we got, you know, for a start on the mark. I mean, that's been off as halves as ourselves. We haven't been putting in, probably getting ourselves in the best position up on last play. But, yeah, I thought tonight our kicking game was a lot better. You know, even building pressure with some repeat sets and tries off kicks, it certainly helps the team.
A lot of worry regarding the fact there was no Kevin Brown tonight, but young Declan Patton stood into the role and stood out.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed since I arrived the pre-season last year with Deck. I think he's really skillful, and I think he filled in really well tonight, and he took control, and that's what as a halves partner, that's what I want to hear from him. As a younger guy, I want him to take control, and I thought he did that tonight. And he's a really good talker. He takes the line on, and he's got a good kicking game. It's just about being consistent for him, but I think he's got. He certainly has got the skills, and I thought just tonight he took control, which is, as I say, as a halves partner, that's what I want to hear from a young guy.
That's what you do when they hear from a young guy. Hopefully Declan Patton will get a longer run and he can do it more consistently.
Yeah, he's unfortunately at risk of being the next door Brighton, isn't he otherwise? I really hope that, because I do think he's got all the skills. He's got everything in his locker, hasn't he? I think that he could be a really, really good Super League halfback. And it's no surprise that when Warrington have played much better, they've had him in the side. You know, yeah. It's when he's not been anywhere near the side where they've been really struggling and haven't looked like they've been able to create anything at all.
Now, we mentioned Benny Westwood at the start of that interview, where he got four matches for his incident with the high shots. I just thought he could have pulled out of it, but he's fought in his head. I'm 34. I don't want to play back-to-back games over Easter, so you're having it.
Yeah, I mean, there is just... if you slow down the video enough, you can just see you thinking, do I pull out of this? And he just couldn't be bothered, you know. No. In the end, he just thought, right, he is having
it. It's Easter. I'm not playing three matches. Sorry, Mr. Sutcliffe, you're getting it.
You're okay. I'll come back afterwards. I mean, it wasn't a good challenge. And to be honest, a stronger referee may have been more tempted to show him a red card in fairness. But, he has been punished retrospectively. And talking about guys that are going to miss rugby over Easter, well, Gareth Hock over at Lee, he got a one-match ban for foul and abusive language to the referee.
He didn't fancy backing her up as well, then?
No, I don't think so. Maybe he thought, well, with the way Salford are playing, I don't really want to play them. I'll have a go at the whole pack instead.
Listen, the way the game is, I wouldn't want to play back-to-back games.
No, to be fair, a lot of these players are far braver than I am, because I don't think I'd even step over the whitewash at this moment in time, because it's just so tough, isn't it, rugby league these days?
A lot of coaches don't like it. Players are seemingly not enjoying it anymore. Do you think we will get to the stage where the RFL will make the decision, say, listen, we'll do away with the bank holiday Monday game?
I think you've got to ask the club's bank managers, to be honest, because they're the ones that keep on voting for it, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously,
money talks.
Obviously, money does talk, and it's the one time of the year where you can virtually guarantee that you're going to get a big payday, and you're going to get a lot of people coming in. So it is one of those, and I don't know. I'm sort of with you a little bit regarding this, because I think that too many of our traditions in rugby league have sort of gone by the wayside. So I'm really happy for this tradition to continue, regardless of what anybody says. But I suppose there may come a time when maybe the game gets even more sped up. Maybe they're just going to have to find a way of slowing it down again. Did you know that last week, for example,
water the pitches, that might work.
Well, it might do, yeah.
Have the guys eating pies rather than pasta after the games.
Yeah, could be. But did you know as well that the game last week involving Huddersfield and St Helens had the most play the balls of the whole Super League? Oh, had nearly 400 play the balls, so they were getting value for money, weren't they?
Certainly were.
Quick play the bottles and the like.
Having said that, I'm saying get players eating pies instead of pasta. What's all this about having the pizza in the dressing room after the game?
I don't know, maybe they just like Italian.
Don't get it.
Dough. That's what it is, they like dough.
All right. Because you remember that famous advert in the 80s where it was Grill Steaks Eric?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me about it.
It was a Fulham game, and I can't remember. I think it was John Stapleton, the player's name in question. And they all sit down after a game, and Reggie Bowden says, "What's for tea, Eric?" And he goes, grill steaks. They're all sat there having grill steaks. I'm sure our older listeners will remember that.
Are you trying to angle for another job here?
Yeah.
You know, but maybe in advertising or something.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be talking about Finder's crispy pancakes next.
Other pancakes are available, but yeah, grill steaks, Eric. But it's all pizzas now.
Well, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Not good for the cholesterol, that.
Still pretty tasty, though. You've just got to think about it in 50 years' time, mate. No problem.
Saturday afternoon rugby and grill steaks. That's the way forward. We're done and dusty for another final hoot. We're going to leave the final words to Ian Chisnall and Tony Smith after Warrington finally get their first win of the season against Leeds Rhinos.
Tony Smith, it's a win. A win at last.
Yeah, it's been coming and been building up. There's not much between win and losing sometimes, and I've seen Leeds play like that and win games, and we haven't been far off it. A few more mistakes, a little bit more discipline tonight, and our kicking game I thought was the big difference between it. But you know, it shows there's not a lot of difference between the top of the competition and not the top of the competition. You know, and there'll be a few swings and roundabouts before the season finishes.
Bit of a rumbustious start. You played 10 minutes with 12, very early doors.
Yeah, I thought we soaked it up. Even though we conceded during that period, I thought we soaked it up pretty well and did well not to be further behind, you know. So, well done to the boys at the start. I thought it was just a little bit silly from Benny. You know, it wasn't dangerous by any means, but just a little bit late.
When you're on the front foot tonight, you look very, very good.
Yeah, and we've done that a few times this year, just for not long enough periods. And I thought that was the difference, pardon me, that was the difference between us tonight. You know, we probably put longer periods of effort in and you know, pressure on our opponents than our opponents did to us. I thought our game management was pretty good. Our two halfbacks kicked very well, I thought, and I thought we had some smart plays by a lot of people across the park, and that's what you need to win games of rugby league. You need to be smart as well as effort.
When you stretched it out with that first try of the second half, were you breathing a little bit easier?
Yes and no. Hey, there's swings and roundabouts in every game, and you know, on new leads, when you go out to a lead against Leeds, they're going to throw the ball around and they're going to offload and they're going to cause some mayhem at some stage. So you know, you can never breathe easy when you're playing Leeds. They've got dangerous players and they're a good team and they're a dangerous team. So you never rest easy until the game's over.
Great heart and great credit to the boys, because when it was back at 18-14, they came up with some good, solid work.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I kept their composure and, you know, handled the pressure that Leeds were throwing at us. And, you know, they had nothing to lose at that stage, so you can play with you know, gay abandon, if you like, and they were throwing it around, and it, you know, sometimes it was coming off for them and some of it wasn't, but you know, my boys were working hard enough for each other tonight to cover for one another and, you know, make sure that lead wasn't squandered, and I'm really proud of them for that, and they deserve it. They worked hard, and you know, they've been working hard for 6 or 7 weeks without probably getting some of the results that we were looking for.
Psychologically, how much was that comeback against Hull a part of this victory?
I'm not sure. It may have well contributed. You know, we could have still lost tonight after a half last week. But, yeah, it probably helped us. You're right. It probably got us on the bit of the out of the mode of making too many mistakes and going forward. You know, we're still a pretty good go-forward team. And, you know, I think the way that we kicked tonight was probably the difference. You know, we've been pretty good at going forward most of the year, with the odd exception, but just not kicking at the end of it well and finishing off on the right note. And it was nice to get a couple of tries from kicks. It's been happening to us a number of times this year, and you know, sometimes that's the difference in games. You know, not conceding from kicks and in your own area, and we handled that pretty well.
Request a song or dedication on Radio General. Use Hospedia and call Star 800.
Star 800.
Music to help you feel better.
Your feel better station.
Radio General.